You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to Friday's edition of William Hill's Irish Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to the action tonight at Dundalk. We've got plenty of action to come for you today on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:50pm with Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel, the team in the studio. But first of all, joining myself, Sam Norris, is the aforementioned Mr. Holding to guide us through the Irish action tonight. How are you, Andy?
Hello, Sam. Yeah, very well, mate. Thank you.
What do you make of the card this evening?
Very competitive one. Decent betting heats, 4 or 5 to 1 the field. Most of the big guns are all here tonight as well. These handicaps are certainly contained. Lots of horses have been in great form. You know, like Sir Grey Daniel, Reckless Lad, Hatton Nasser, Maurice, Settle for Red Etal in the 7:30. And then the last two races are a bit of a who's who of two, between the 2 and 1.25 mile handicappers we've seen in the last 3 or 4 months. So they're going to take some finding tonight, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty of familiar faces. How far would we be through the Dundalk season at this point, Andy?
Just slightly over halfway, I'd say. It goes all the way through to March, April. So, you know, we've had they race in September, so we've already had 4 months, 4.5 months, and probably got about 3, 3.5 left. So, yeah, we're it's still coming thick and fast. A lot of these horses are still going to be here with us in another few months' time. So. We're certainly on first-name terms with quite a few of these already.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good stuff. Let's get stuck into the betting then. We start with the 6 o'clock at Dundalk. This is a 5 furlong handicap where Little Sweetheart is 6-4 favourite this morning. 5-1 about Shiny Happy John. Timing Anatevka is 6-1. It's 8-1 about Missile Command. Mr. Wright is 10s and it's bigger prices for the remainder. What do you like in the opener?
Well, I do like Little Sweetheart. She is a firm favourite of mine because I like her run style. It's certainly suited to Dundalk, and in particular the 5 furlong track, which is very much a speed course. You often find horses that get out in front, like Chicklet did last week, for instance, and they're pretty good in this grade. They can maintain a decent tempo all the way through, and that's what this filly can do, or mare can do. She was just unluckily touched off by Dan's Gift the time before, but you know, Dan's Gift was on a bit of a roll at the time, so there's no disgrace in that. And then I put her up here turning into the December months when she made all the running from a nice low stall position. And to be fair, she never ever looked like getting beat on that occasion. I thought she won quite snugly. Back in behind was Times of Anatevka, who unfortunately has got hold of a habit of being very, very slowly away. I mean, ridiculously slowly away. It's got a touch of the arm axes about it. Just basically just can't get competitive because it gets too far behind. As I said, if you do that here, you're in trouble. The only likely danger or logical danger is Shiny Happy John. The only problem with him is that most of his best form has come over 6 furlongs, like it did last time beyond Titmus, and his only career win came over 6 furlongs here. Just got a feeling that 5 furlongs, even though he's drawn his stall one, and he might get the run of the race around the inside, he's not going to be farther than for him. So it's got to be a Little Sweetheart, despite the slightly tricky draw in Trap 7. Hopefully Danny Grant can get her out, get her in front again, and if he does, then she's going to be difficult to pass.
Little Sweetheart then for Patrick Flynn. We move on to the 6:30 then. This is a claiming race over a mile. The betting here is fronted by Strategic Force, who is 7-4. It's 100-30 about Xylan. Meddling is 7-1. 15-2 for Torpedo Alley. British Art is 10-1. Majestic Paddy 10-1. 18s bar. What do you like in the second?
Yeah, an interesting little race here. Strategic Force and Xylan set the standard. And you'd imagine that one of these two would be good enough to win this race. Based on their overall profile and their form coming into this race, which was fairly good, although they got reasonably well beat in the end last week when they finished 6th and 7th respectively behind Issue Bay or Grey. That certainly represents the best form coming into this race. And on that occasion, it was Gerald O'Leary's charge that just ran out at Johnny Murta's charge in the latter stages. Of course, Zealand had to row his own boat and make the running. And he rather set it up for the rest of the field. So it certainly wasn't a bad effort from him. But I'd probably go with Strategic Force because his figures are really good behind that as well, even though he was only fifth and sixth respectively in his two races prior to that. They were behind the likes of Grey Danube, Jamesy Shawnee and Reckless Lad and Chestnut Fire and Shabba Emperor, all those decent handicappers that we see week in, week out, over six, 7 furlongs respectively. So even though his form figures, like I say, aren't all that inspiring because they haven't got like, streams of ones and twos and threes by them, the actual numbers, speed figures that I've got, actually suggest that those runs have been a little bit better than that. Certainly up to the standard of this race anyway. Do keep an eye on my old friend, Our Max. Even though this horse is only rated a 49 and he can't win at the weights, this horse has got an amazing engine. He just, unfortunately, gives away that too much ground at the start. But it wouldn't surprise me if somebody dipped their toe in the water with him tonight and claimed him, because if they can sort his bad habits out at the stalls, he'd make him to a useful handicap off that rating because he's got loads of ability. He always seems to catch him up, but unfortunately, you know, you can't give field or horses 10 to 15 lengths head start, which is his problem. But anyway, that's about Our Max. But the selection is all about Strategic Force.
Strategic Force, then getting the pick front in the 6:30. We move ahead to race number three now. This is the 7 o'clock a mile maiden for us here, where Aberdeen is the even money favourite this morning. Ashin Impala is 5-2. 5-2 about birthplace. That one is first reserve, though. Chewy Round Town is 15-2. 16s, but all the money this morning coming for this this Mickey Halford charge, Andy.
Yeah, quite rightly too as well, Sam. He was involved in the fastest maiden I've got so far here this winter. Of course, it went the way of Red Ranner, who now runs in the colours of Fitchery Hay, and of course is trained by Dave Simcock. Actually, I thought Red Ranner, to be fair to him, didn't run too badly the other day, even though he was last to four behind Ombre Roger. It was a strange old slowly run tactical race that was never ever going to suit Red Ranner, but he did not stay on quite eye-catchingly in the latter stages. So I still think this form's okay. Either way, which way you strip it down, it's probably the best form on offer here. Certainly time figure-wise it is. Oscar Dominguez, who was fifth, has won subsequently out the race. So the form's rock solid. Could have done with a slightly better draw, but that said, his main two market rivals also got terrible draws as well. Ashin Impala, who caught the eye on debut in a reasonable race, won here by In Her Stride a few weeks back. You know, that was a smart effort by Tommy Stack's charge. It's certainly suggesting that with the experience in the next furlong, he's going to be very, very competitive next time out. But he's drawn stall 12. And Chewy Roundtown, who forced the run in here last week when getting touched off by Roman Imparo in the end, he's drawn stall 14. So if you fancy Aberdeen, you're looking at a double-figure draw, you think, oh, my God, it's not that bad in context to what his main market rivals are facing as well. So Aberdeen, off the back of his good figure last time out and the run the time before, sets a reasonable standard for the others to shoot at in the 7 o'clock.
Aberdeen then for Mickey Halford and Pat Smullen in the 7 o'clock. Race number 4 comes up at 7:30. This one is a mile handicap where Maurice is the 4-1 market leader this morning. 9-2 about Hat Al-Nassar. Grey Danube is 5-1, 6-1 Reckless Lad, 6-1 Settled for Red. Mountree is 15-2, 8-1 Manorov. Bigger prices for the rest of them. We talk about old favourites, Andy. We know pretty much everything there is to know about this bunch.
We do, yes. It's a proper 4-1 the field. Take your money, pays your money, take your chance race. And I'll probably just go with my consistency of figures, really, that accumulated over the last 3 or 4 months. And it points me in the direction of 2 or 3 horses here. Reckless Lad being the number one choice. I can see this horse is trading around about 6-7-1 this morning, which is not a bad each way bet for Pat Martin's charge. If you're prepared to cast aside his slightly disappointing run here the last day, that was obviously over 7, which is not ideally his best trip, albeit he has won over it before. It was a bit of a funny old race, though. It wasn't the strongest ever run 7 furlong handicap ever, and this horse wants a real good end-to-end gallop. And he also challenged up the inside of the track as well, which, as it panned out in that race and through many races on that particular evening, the middle of the track was by far and away the quickest part of the course. And I think Wayne Norton, if he would have made his move again, he probably wouldn't have gone down the inside as he chose to on that occasion. Hopefully tonight he'll bring him wide and give him a little bit of a chance. I wouldn't be too bothered about his draw either, because he's a hold-up horse that's going to have to be dropped in anyway, so it doesn't really matter where he's drawn. You'd imagine that the pace will be set up by Hat Al-Nassar, who's been running very, very consistently. He's hardly ever out the frame, always runs his races, and like I say, his figures are good as well. And Grey Danube is the other one on the numbers which would have a bit of chance. The only problem with his chances or credentials is that most of his best form's over 6 furlongs, and this is a big step up to a mile against proper milers here tonight. So a fascinating affair, one that I'm sure that Reckless Lad will run well in.
Rex's lad then for Andy in the 7:30. We'll go to the 8 o'clock now. This is race number 5, a 7 furlong handicap ahead of us here with 14 of them to sort out. Tribal Path is the 7-2 favourites. Tanzanite 4-1, 6-1 Samford Authority. Zarpol is 13-2, 8-1 Koretska. Bigger prices for the remainder. And again, a tight betting heat here, Andy.
Yeah, and again, another trappy old race for punters to get their head around. I think Tribal Path is probably just about the worthy market leader based on his consistent level of form in his last two or three starts. The only problem is he's only got one win in 25, which is a little bit disconcerting if you're thinking about taking 3-1, 7-2 about this horse. He is, however, drawn in stall one, and as I said, his last two runs have been really good on the figures. Over 7 furlongs behind Captain Midnight, and over 6 behind Titmus and Missile Command. On both occasions, he plugged on quite well down the lane, and that's pretty much what Tribal Path's all about. He's not a horse that quickens, but he just keeps grinding out of fractions. And if he's good enough, then he's likely to take a hand in the finish. One at a very, very big price here, and I see that William Hill have chucked this horse up at 20-1, and it does seem a little bit of a big price for Tanneron, who was involved in that race at Tribal Path, the third in here the last day. Similarly to Tribal Path, 6 furlongs would have been mighty short of her best, but given that she was very, very strong in the latter stages from an uncompromising position, I do suggest that John Murphy's charge is definitely worth a look here at a big price. All her best forms over 7 furlongs and a mile. She won at Tipperary 2 starts ago, and she won a very competitive handicap on that occasion. She's got a good draw, and I think she'll be a little bit further up the field than she was here the last day when she was at the back door from a high draw, and obviously they went quite quick early on. And if she's there or thereabouts with sort of 2 furlongs to run, she's certainly going to be outrunning one or two of these down the lane. So I think this one's been overlooked by the bookmakers this morning. Chance for us to back a real juicy one, particularly with William Hill. One firm's only gone 10-1. William Hill got 20s.
OK, Andy's selections then in the 8 o'clock. We'll go now to the 8:30. This is penultimate race of the day. A 2-mile handicap here, the richest race of the day at Dundalk. And Duchess of Marmite is the 11-4 favourite. 4-1 Tagliatelle. Modem is 5s. 10-1 about Cardinal Palace. 10-1 for Bitten. 11s or bigger the remainder. And a first runner in Ireland for Richard Hughes as a trainer, Andy.
Yeah, I think Richard Hughes is going to be one of the sort of trainers that we're going to be talking quite a bit about in the next few months, particularly when the grass season starts. And judged by what he's been achieving in the winter with his horses on the all-weather, I certainly think we've got to take him seriously. He certainly knows what he's doing, Richard, and the fact that he's been very proactive here in bringing a horse over in the shape of Duchess of Marmite for a nice pot certainly suggests that he's forward-thinking as well. He's certainly not afraid to try different things, and he's been pretty good with his filly so far throughout his career. And it's been expertly ridden by Shane Kelly. We've got to give Shane plenty of praise and pats on the head, because some of the rides he's given this horse has been absolutely sublime. She's a really difficult filly in the sense that she has to be dropped right on the line. If you hit the front too soon, then she tends to doss around and stargaze. So it'll certainly test his mettle all the way down the home straight at Dundalk, trying to hold on and wait as long as possible. If he gets everything right, then obviously Duchess of Marmite's got to be a consideration here in a very competitive race. Tangatel will be obviously a major choice of many. Of course, some distance winner's got a touch of class. And of course, this surface clearly suits, as we saw here the last day. Modem's another one who brings good, decent jumping form to the table. Of course, he was involved in a grade two last time out when he was only 11 lengths behind Identity Thief, who was only a 10-12-1 shot for the champion hurdle. So those are the three main players. But I do think we should consider Saga Bolton here at a price. This horse is a bit of an unsung hero here, trading around about 10 or 12 to 1, but I do think this horse is a little bit better than what the bookmakers have suggested. Certainly time figure wise he's bang up with most of these, and he was a good second to the best stayer we've seen on the all weather so far this season, and that form's good enough for me. That second beyond Political Policy here last week certainly commands an amazing amount of respect. I think he'll stay no problem whatsoever. He's always been very strong in the latter part of his races. So Saga Bolton against the big boys here, hopefully might just slightly outrun his odds.
11-1 then, the price of Saga Bolton in that 8:30. We're going on to the final race of the night from Dundalk. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we've got a handicap here over an extended mile and a quarter trip. Empresario is the 6-1 favourite. 13-2, You to Go. Poitin is 13-2. 7-1, Hello Humphrey. Sharjah, 8-1. 9-1 for Brosnan. And 12s, Bart, what are you like in the last?
Oh, again, another devilishly difficult one. I think the organisers of these cards at Dundalk have rather got a sense of humour, haven't they, putting races along like this for the so-called getting out stakes. I think it's a case of you could lose a little bit more money stakes here. 6-7 to one the field. I'd probably have to have a couple of throws at the board. I think Uda go a lot better than what he did the last day. I thought it was a pretty poor tactical ride by Anna O'Brien, not for the first time that Anna's ridden a ill-judged race here at Dundalk. You'd think she'd know better by now. But she hit the front way, way too soon, and she got involved in a hectic pace, which she didn't need to. And, of course, mile and a half for the first time, she was always likely to succumb to the deep closes, and that's exactly what's happened. She got gobbled up later on. But you go back to the run the time before, she posted a very good number when she actually did ride this horse spectacularly well. And now, if that horse can run up to that level when she beats Chardra and Poitin, then I think he's going to take a hand in the finish here. Back in third in that race was Poitin, who's been knocking at the door subsequently. Although only finished sixth here last week, it was a bit slowly away and never really got involved in the race, which is often the case here at Dundalk if you're not competitive from an early stage. And I've got a feeling from a much better draw tonight with hopefully a better positive ride by Robbie Downey. Keith Clark's mare has got every chance of hitting the frame again. So I'm going to go with 2-13 to 2 chances to end the card. You to go and Poitin, my two against the field in the last.
Two there for Andy in the 9 o'clock. Just summarise, please, one more time, your picks for a competitive night of action from Ireland.
Yeah, I'm in the studio tonight at Dundalk, so plenty to talk about and plenty of races to chew the fat over. Starting with Little Sweetheart in the first, who should hopefully get us off to a flying start. Strategic Force is the choice in the second race in the first time Hood. I'll go with Eberdan to get the better of Shin Impala in the 7 o'clock, although it's a tough call between the two. Reckless Lad is the each-way vote off the figures in the 7:30. My best bet on the card at the prices is Tanneron, who there's no way that horse should be 20 to 1 on what it did here the last day. In the 8:30, plenty of competitive and eye-catching horses here from powerful stables face the starter. But I do think Anthony Mullins' Saga Bolton down the bottom will outrun its odds. And in the final race, again, another difficult race for punters to get their head around. But Udigo and Poitin are the two that I'd make an exception to in the final race.
There we are, Andy Holding's thoughts ahead of the Dundalk card tonight. And you can join Andy in the William Hill Racing Radio studio from 12:50 alongside Gary Capewell and Paddy Aspel. We've got Huntingdon and Lingfield in the afternoon, then all-weather action this evening from both Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So make sure you join us for all of that. Thank you very much for joining me this morning, Andy. I'll see you later and best of luck with the Dundalk card tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. See you later.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.